On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Dyatt.
And I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Coming up, at least two people dead and more than 20 hurt after a shooting in Las Vegas.
You could hear the bullets coming closer, and they were, and then it'd get quiet, and they would like reload, and then they'd start going again. And the girl that was standing right behind me, about 2 feet, she got shot in the stomach.
Also tonight, the Catalan government says Spain will have to answer for the violence which has marred Catalan's independence referendum.
The Spanish government should be ashamed of itself. It is placing Spain in a very delicate situation because it is violating human rights.
And we'll have a wrap of what was a massive weekend in sport.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. With the news at 6 o'clock, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Authorities have shut down part of the Las Vegas Strip after receiving reports of an ongoing shooting. Officer Aiden Ocampo Gomez says police are heading to the scene near Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino. Reports say gunfire has been heard at the Route 91 Country Music Festival, which is taking place just across the road from the Mandalay Bay. The University Medical Centre says it's taking in several people with gunshot wounds. People on social media are reporting that the hotel is in lockdown, while others, citing police scanners, say there are two people on the 32nd floor who have shot down at a bodyguard and police. The witness has told CBS that a woman standing near her was shot.
You could hear the bullets coming closer, and they were, and then it'd get quiet, and they would like reload, and then they'd start going again. And the girl that was standing right behind me, about 2 feet, she got shot in the stomach. And everybody thought at first it was just firecrackers, and then everybody just couldn't. It just kept going more, and I even. Told my husband, it's firecrackers. He goes, no, it's a machine gun or something, an automatic rifle.
Meanwhile, there's been terror incidents reported in France and Canada. Two women have been killed and their attackers shot dead by a soldier in the southern French port city of Marseille in what officials have described as a likely terrorist act. The victims, aged 17 and 20, were attacked at Marseille's main railway station. And in Canada, police have charged a Somali refugee with 5 counts of attempted murder in the city of Edmonton. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police have described the attacks as an act of terrorism. Police say the assailant hit a police officer with a car he was driving in front of a football stadium on Saturday before getting out of the vehicle and stabbing him. He then ran down 4 pedestrians after fleeing a police checkpoint. The Australian government has deflected questions over the death of an asylum seeker from Australia's offshore detention centre on Manus Island to Papua New Guinean authorities. It's believed the man was a Sri Lankan Tamil and took his own life at a hospital in the township of Lorengau. Refugee Action Coalition spokesman Ian Rittle has told Sky News the man had been sent to the hospital 3 days earlier.
He has been mentally distressed for some time and has not been able to get any kind of proper assistance. He was taken to the hospital 3 days ago after self-harming at the East Lorengau Centre. But according to people on the ground in Manus, he didn't get proper assistance there. We know that there's no assistance on Lorengau for the mentally distressed people.
Australia's Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says the man's death is a matter for PNG authorities.
I am aware of reports that a person has died in a PNG hospital. There will obviously be an investigation by the PNG authorities, but I would suggest that the PNG authorities speak on this matter. It's occurred in PNG.
It is the second death on Manus Island in as many months and the 6th fatality in 4 years. The Catalan government says around 90% of voters have voted in favour of secession from Spain. The vote was marred by violent scenes as millions of people turned out for the referendum on Catalan's independence. The poll will have no legal status and it's been blocked by Spain's constitutional court. Spanish President Mariano Rajoy has called the vote a strategy against democracy and legality and defended his government's opposition to it.
Y quiero que sepan I am the Prime Minister and the leader of the government, and we have done what we had to do within the law. We have only acted within the law. We have shown that our democratic state has the resources to defend itself against such a serious attack as the one which has been tried with this illegal referendum. Today, democracy won.
Sunday's grand final victory won't sway Cooper Cronk's decision about whether he'll close his NRL career or play on with a Sydney club next season. Cronk ended his Melbourne career with a fitting finale, securing his second premiership with the Storms' 34-6 win over North Queensland. The 33-year-old is moving to Sydney to be with his fiancée and told reporters he's pleased with his legacy.
I've been very fortunate with the career I've had, very blessed. The game's given me a lot. But, I'm not sure what I'll do next, but no matter what I do, I'm very content with what I've done, yeah.
And a look at tomorrow's weather. Perth, partly cloudy, 21. Adelaide, mostly sunny, 25. Melbourne, mostly sunny, 23. Hobart, partly cloudy and 18. Canberra, early fog, then sunny, 24. Wollongong, cloudy, 23. Sydney, a possible shower, 24. Newcastle, showers, 23. Brisbane, showers, a possible storm, 23. Cairns, mostly sunny, 31. And Darwin, possible shower and 34. And Mike Tomalaris will have more on these stories and more coming up on SBS World News at 6:30.
Okay, thanks, Ricardo. Right across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio. It's 6:07. Catalonian authorities say 90% of voters in a banned referendum on independence have voted for the region to leave Spain. The referendum has triggered violent clashes between voters and Spanish riot police, with more than 800 civilians and 11 police officers reportedly injured. Samantha Beniak-Brooks has our report.
Thousands of people have turned out to polling booths across the Spanish region of Catalonia to vote in a historic independence referendum. But the referendum has angered the Spanish government, which deployed regional police to try to halt the vote that it says violates the constitution. The ensuing violence between police and voters has now heightened tensions between the government and Catalonian authorities in the worst political crisis in Spain for decades. Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy says Catalonians were fooled into thinking they were voting in a legitimate referendum.
Un referéndum de autodeterminación en Cataluña.
There has not been a referendum on independence in Catalonia. Today, all of us in Spain have seen that our rule of law kept its strength and its validity, that it confronts those who try to break it and reacts to those who try to subvert it, that it acts with all the legal means at its disposal, whatever the kind of provocation, and that it does so with efficiency and calm.
But as Spanish authorities began to increase the pressure on Catalonia to halt the referendum in recent days, many Catalonians only pushed back. Since Friday, thousands of people had occupied schools and buildings designated as polling booths to keep them open. Then, as voters turned out to vote at the polling booths, the violent clashes broke out between police and voters. Catalonia's health department says hundreds of people were injured as riot police forcibly stopped people from voting using batons and rubber bullets. Catalan's regional leader, Carles Puigdemont, has accused Spanish authorities of using irresponsible and unjustified violence. He says the violence only reflects a bad image on Spain.
The irresponsible and unjustified use of violence from the Spanish state will not undermine the desire of the Catalan people to peacefully and democratically vote. But today it makes it even clearer to the eyes of those who had doubts and to the whole world what is at stake in days like this.
Catalonia's regional government spokesman, Jordi Turull, says Spain's government will have to answer to international courts for the violence.
Es un auténtico escándalo.
What they are doing is scandalous, an international scandal. It's disgusting. The Spanish government should be ashamed of itself. It is placing Spain in a very delicate situation because it is violating human rights.
Voters like this man argued what should have been a peaceful referendum turned into one where innocent people were being hurt.
Grandparents, children, women, all crying, everyone suffering. And why? Just because they want to vote, because they want democracy, because they want to be regular people with rights.
But despite the clashes, would-be voters were still queuing in Barcelona to cast their votes as the polling booths closed. Catalonia already has a large degree of autonomy, and yes voters say they see no change if independence is declared. Pro-independence voter Emilio Camerma says he feels confident about independence being declared.
Tomorrow is the first day of our freedom. Simply that. They can't stop this. Not the Spanish police, not the national police, nor the army. The Catalan people are determined to have its independence, and we will achieve it. They will not stop it. There's no time machine to turn back time. It is irreversible. Spain, see you later.
But others are not so happy about the vote. This Spanish resident says she wants the whole of Spain to remain united.
We came to ask for the unity of Spain, to defend our country, our flag, and to say no to independence, separatism and what they're doing in Catalonia, which is a shame. The people here today feel indignation and sadness.
The Catalan government has promised to declare independence from Spain within 48 hours of a yes vote win, regardless of the turnout, just over 42% of voters. And as the country awaits the final verdict, Catalonia leader Carles Puigdemont is reassuring Catalonians they deserve independence.
Per això avui, amb aquesta jornada d'esperança i també de patiment,
on this day of hope and suffering, Catalonia's citizens have earned the right to have an independent state in the form of a republic. Hence, my government, in the next few days, will send the results of today's vote to the Catalan Parliament, where the sovereignty of our people lies, so that it can act in accordance with the law of the referendum.
That report by Samantha Beniak-Brooks. You're listening to SBS World News Radio right across Australia. It's now 12 past six. Well, let's cross to Las Vegas now, where there's been a shooting at one of the casinos on the Las Vegas Strip. Reports are at this stage that two people dead and at least 20 people are being treated for gunshot wounds. On the line is a newscaster with Channel 8 in Las Vegas, Dave Cavossier, whose day off was interrupted. He's on his way into the studio now to cover this unfolding event. Dave, thank you for joining us at short notice. What can you tell us about this shooting?
The shooting happened about 9:30 local time, and it was at a country western concert taking place between two casinos. The early reports are, and again, I stress that it's early because it's hard to find a lot of facts when the police aren't really saying much. But what we can tell is there were shooters high up from a window shooting down at the crowd watching the concert. A fusillade of shots, as you said, at least two possibly dead and 20 more injured. Every available ambulance has been used. Local emergency rooms are full to capacity. They've had to move to yet another hospital or another hospital past the first trauma center. So there's an active scene going on. The police have moved in great numbers and are trying to get a control of the situation. There is now a report that there is a unidentified object, perhaps a bomb, that's being investigated, and at least one shooter has been disabled, perhaps killed, and there is a search on for at least two other shooters.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much for joining us at short notice. That's Dave Cavossier on the line from Channel 8 in Las Vegas, and we'll bring you more details on that shooting as they come in. You're listening to SBS World News Radio with Greg Dyett. It's now 13 past six. Well, returning now to the referendum on the Catalan situation, and local Catalans here sat up through the night in Sydney watching in disbelief as events unfolded back home. It was supposed to be a gathering of celebrations, but instead it became a long night of stress and worry. Our report from Matt Kinnellan.
Thousands of kilometres away, Sydney-based Catalans gathered. Fuelled by little more than coffee and emotion, there were tears of joy and of frustration. Their experience of the referendum certainly not diluted by distance. The New South Wales Catalan Association's president, Esteve Mayolath, explains.
I have many family members in Catalonia, and they've been spread around Catalonia in different towns, so they have different experiences of how it's been.
The association's gathering was supposed to be a joyous one, but instead there were mixed feelings, as Albert Soleil explains.
We thought that we were coming here to see the results, you know, like the percentage of people going to vote, the percentage of yes or no, and here we're counting the number of people that got hurt, you know, instead of the numbers of people going to express themselves freely.
Ana Vilalta has lived in Australia for 11 years. Like many, she's a passionate believer in Catalan independence.
Well, for me it's very, very, very important because I'm Catalan and I feel Catalan. That's the language I speak with my parents. That's the song that they used to sing to me. I always learned the Spanish. I love the Spanish language. I love the Spanish people. But that's not me. That's simply not me. The same way that I love French, but that's not me.
Ms. Vilalta's mother is back in Spain. She was at a polling booth as police stormed it, following up on their promise to try and stop the referendum. Ana Vilalta explains exactly what happened.
As soon as the voting booths opened, got really violent. The Spanish police got there. They started confiscating ballot boxes and having very, very violent reactions towards people, even hitting very old people and things we couldn't expect. We weren't expecting such a violent reaction by the Spanish police. We thought something was going to happen, but not to this extent.
Dr. Carlos Uxo is a lecturer in Spanish and Latin American studies at Monash University in Melbourne. He explains why the Spanish government sees the referendum as illegal and why the Catalans think otherwise.
In the Spanish constitution, there is no place for something like this. Obviously, the Catalan government is saying we have a parliament, we have a government, we can call for a referendum. So depending on who you ask, it'll be illegal or not.
Dr. Uxo believes the only solution is a political one, and he says these events may have pushed the two sides further apart than ever.
The only solution that I see happening in the future is to have a new prime minister in Spain that calls for a referendum in Catalonia. It has pushed both sides not only politically apart, but it has created a social fracture in Catalonia.
Monash University's Dr. Carlos Uxo, ending that report by Matt Kennellan. You're listening to SBS World News Radio. And coming up a little later in the show, the Western Sydney Wanderers left without a coach just days before their opening game, with Tony Popovic quitting to take a job with a Turkish team.
The timing certainly is not great. You don't plan these things. I believe it's a calculated risk, and it's one that, you know, I feel that if I want an opportunity in Europe, it's one I need to take. My instinct told me to come here and start something, and my instinct again is telling me that this is the right challenge to take on. I'm sure whoever comes in will have a fantastic foundation to be able to build and bring his own ideas.
That story coming up in sport. This is SBS World News Radio. Female Australian soldiers are playing an unprecedented role in Afghanistan as guardian angels in some of the most dangerous parts of Kabul. The men and women of the 3rd Battalion, Royal Australian Regiment, have been deployed to the capital city to protect Australian forces there. Miles Morgan reports.
Privates Tegan Norris and Louise Marshall went through Australian Army recruit training together, were posted to the same unit, and are now in Kabul. They're part of the force protection element at Camp Kaga, working alongside male infantry soldiers. Private Norris is known as a guardian angel. She's always armed with at least a pistol and shadows Australian staff at Afghanistan's military academy.
The threat would be more of an insider threat, so the cadets themselves or some of the mentees as well. You've just got to have that relaxed nature to be able to speak to everyone normally, but also have that sharp eye to notice anything out of the normal.
Private Marshall says deploying to Afghanistan has been an eye-opening experience compared to her normal role in the Army's logistics unit.
When we first got here, we were on high alert, so everything felt a bit different because it was just a totally different country. We weren't expecting a lot of things. And then as it got more into it, we're 5 weeks in now, you get a bit more relaxed. You still notice a few little things that get your heart racing a little bit, but other than that, nothing really bothers us too much.
The two female soldiers aren't in the infantry, but they are in a frontline combat-like role in Afghanistan. There are only a handful of female guardian angels in the Australian Army, but they're needed in Afghanistan, where some classes at the military academy are only open to female officer cadets. Private Marshall underwent 3 months of infantry and weapons training and self-defence classes before deploying.
The 12 weeks that we had in practice got us all in a really good clique. We all started getting along and we all started getting, you know, doing the same things the boys sort of do. And once we got here, we really settled into doing the similar sort of role as the boys.
About 300 Australian soldiers are spread around Kabul, contributing to the NATO-led Train, Advise and Assist mission. Australians aren't actively engaged in combat as part of Operation Resolute Support, but the city is still dangerous. In the past week, the airport was subjected to a significant rocket and mortar attack shortly after the arrival of the US Secretary of Defence, and a Danish military convoy travelling in Kabul was attacked by a suicide bomber. Navigating the streets of Kabul is one of the most dangerous jobs for the Australian Force Protection Element, and it's done in armoured vehicles. Corporal Andrew Norrie is a section commander in a Bushmaster vehicle. He takes Australian military staff between bases.
Because there is a high threat in Kabul city itself from a large number of insurgent groups, we are required to travel around in the PMV or protected mobility vehicle to protect those mentors themselves. The traffic is quite heavy in some situations and built up in some areas, so moving our large vehicles through that traffic is quite challenging at times. And it does take a lot of skill for the soldiers in my section to move through that.
He says the biggest risks his vehicle faces are rocket and mortar attacks, traffic accidents and suicide vehicle bombers.
So the training definitely kicks in. On the vehicles we have the weapon system on top, which we use to scan all the traffic so we can cover 360 degrees around our convoy. And the whole time the driver and the co-driver are scanning the traffic for any atmospherics that have changed. The whole time that we're out in Kabul City, there's always a risk of VBID or vehicle-borne IEDs. So we have to keep an eye out for any kind of cars that are acting strangely or different from normal.
Corporal Andrew Norrie ending that report by Miles Morgan. Well, it was a convincing win by the Melbourne Storm in the NRL Grand Final, capped off a big weekend of sport. People of Melbourne were already celebrating another big win on Saturday, with the Tigers securing their first AFL Premiership in 37 years. But as two of Australia's biggest codes wind down for the year, the A-League has been rocked by the sudden departure of Western Sydney Wanderers coach Tony Popovic, less than a week before its opening round. Here's Manny Sigas.
Just under 80,000 people headed to Sydney's ANZ Stadium to see the Melbourne Storm complete one of the most dominant seasons in NRL history. The North Queensland Cowboys had defied the odds to reach the NRL Grand Final, and from early on, things didn't look good. Strong pressure from the Storm saw Cowboy Sean Fensom taken from the field with a serious leg injury. At half-time, Melbourne was enjoying an 18-0 lead before crossing through Dal Finucane, Curtis Scott and Josh Addo-Carr to secure a 34-6 win. It was a fitting end for the Storm's departing halfback Cooper Cronk, but the 33-year-old is still unsure if he will play on next year.
I'll celebrate this, wake up with a hangover a couple of days, and then I'll have a think about it, but yeah, it's really hard to give up moments like this, Joe. You work extremely hard for it, and the satisfaction is, there's no words to describe it. But, yeah, this is my last time in a purple jersey. I'll hang this jersey up and hang it somewhere with pride, but I've got some thinking to do, don't I?
The win added to the celebrations in the Victorian capital. On Saturday, a capacity crowd at the Melbourne Cricket Ground witnessed the Richmond Tigers upset minor premiers the Adelaide Crows in the AFL Grand Final. Richmond's 48-point win was its first premiership victory since 1980. Coach Damien Hardwick told thousands of fans at the club's spiritual home at Punt Road Oval that the team remains hungry for more success.
I want to thank our fans. You've been fantastic along the journey. You've been through us thick and thin. We're 70,000 strong. To hear the roar when we walk out on that ground, not only of yesterday, but the preliminary final, is certainly inspiring. You deserve a round of applause. You inspire us. We play for you. and we applaud you.
The end of the AFL and NRL season signals the start of the A-League season. But just days before its opening game, the Western Sydney Wanderers have been thrown into chaos. Coach Tony Popovich has decided to quit the club to take a job at Turkish side Karabukspor. The former Socceroo had coached the Wanderers since they first entered the A-League in 2012, guiding them to finals appearances in 5 out of 6 seasons and a win in the Asian Champions League final in 2014. Popovich's contract was due to run until the end of the 2017-18 season, but he says the time to pursue his next challenge is now.
The timing certainly is not... not great. You don't plan these things. I believe it's a calculated risk, and it's one that, you know, I feel that if I want an opportunity in Europe, it's one I need to take. My instinct told me to come here and start something, and my instinct again is telling me that this is the right challenge to take on. I'm sure whoever comes in will have a fantastic foundation to be able to build and bring his own ideas.
Oliroo's coach Josip Gombau and former Wanderers and Socceroos assistant Ante Milicic are considered the frontrunners to replace him. Still with football, and Manchester City remains on top of the English Premier League after beating Chelsea at Stamford Bridge 1-0. Manchester United kept pace with their crosstown rivals, thrashing Crystal Palace 4-0. And Tottenham Hotspur sit third after putting 4 goals past Huddersfield. To Formula One, and Red Bull's Max Verstappen has earned his second career win with a dominant drive in the Malaysian Grand Prix. Verstappen passed pole sitter Lewis Hamilton in the fourth lap of Sepang and kept him lingering in second place until the very end.
I saw Lewis was struggling a bit with traction and he was clipping a bit more than me, so I used my battery as much as I could. And of course, you know, he has more to lose than me in the championship, so I went for it in turn one. And from there on, I could do my own race. You know, the car was unbelievable. I had pace. If I needed to speed up, you know, I speed up. And yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's a very tough race, but of course, incredible to win.
Verstappen's Australian teammate Daniel Ricciardo finished third. The Wallabies' lacklustre run at the Rugby Championship has continued, playing out a second straight draw with South Africa. The 27-all stalemate in Bloemfontein leaves Australia with just 1 win from 5 matches. But a fifth straight win for the All Blacks has seen them snare their second consecutive Rugby Championship. Captain Kieran Reid was immense as New Zealand crossed the line 5 times against Argentina with a final score of 36-10.
Look, there's nothing special about the game in terms of what you need to do. Turn up with the right attitude and intensity, and then we certainly enjoy scoring tries as well, so I think that helps.
To tennis, and Australian Ash Barty has been defeated by Frances Caroline Garcia in the final of the Wuhan Open. The 21-year-old Queenslander took the first set, but in an absorbing contest that lasted just under 3 hours, Garcia came out on top. Despite the result, Barty will now rise to a career-high rank of 23rd, after defeating 4 top 15 players in the tournament. In golf, the United States are 1 point away from winning its 7th consecutive President's Cup. The holders will take a 9-point advantage into the final day in New Jersey. The Internationals just hung on by winning the last 4 balls match, and their captain Nick Price is trying to stay positive.
There's an outside shot tomorrow, and the guys all know that, so they're going to go and play for their pride, they're going to play for themselves, they're going to play for the team, and they're going to play for us, and they're going to do their best, so... They're not going to beat to take the spirit away out of our team, that's for sure.
And finally, Prince Harry has praised the efforts of injured service people and veterans who took part in this year's Invictus Games. The Paralympic-style event has wrapped up in Toronto, Canada, with Prince Harry watching events alongside former US President Barack Obama and former US Vice President Joe Biden. Sydney is set to host the Games next year.
And that's Sport Report by Manny Sigas. That's SBS World News Radio for now. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening.